Wishing you a blessed Christmas. I hope your Christmas has been wonderful. Lots of food, fun, laughter, friends, family. And as you can see, I've eaten quite a fair bit as well. So we've gained quite a fair bit of weight. We are going through a series called Through the Eyes, Christmas Through the Eyes series. And today is the last of the series. We've looked at how Christmas looked like for Joseph. And of course, we looked at the shepherds, then Mary, and today we look through the eyes of an old man in a temple in Jerusalem called Simeon. Now, Christmas has always been celebrated. Perhaps I can have the prompter, please. Yeah. Thank you. Christmas has always been celebrated in Singapore. Is it working? Okay, there you go. Christmas has always been celebrated in Singapore like this. Bright lights, big city, lots of food, lots of shopping. I do know that this year, even though COVID was a big factor in affecting businesses, but yet on Christmas Day itself, I believe that many people would have gone out. And in fact, yesterday I was out and I saw so many people shopping, and was pretty scary to think about that as well. So is Christmas all about that? About shopping, about Santa Claus, about ho 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 or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Or is Christmas about a savior? Holy, holy. What is Christmas all about for all of us here today? And for the people of God, what does Christmas really mean? When I say the people of God, I do not mean just about you and I here, but throughout the ages, and especially for the people of God some 2,000 years ago, as they think about their promised Messiah, which the scriptures tell them will come one day, someday. I wonder how would their posture be as they think about Christmas? And today I want to ask you this question. How should we respond to Christmas? And this is where I invite us to enter back in time with me, some 2,000 years ago, that we can see Christmas through the eyes of an old man by the name of Simeon. Now, some of us have been through a narrative sermon and we are familiar with that. But today, I would like to take on the character of Simeon to help you see through his eyes what Christmas is all about. Follow with me, open up your Bibles, your apps and all that with me to Luke chapter 2 that was just read for you, focusing on verses 25 to 35. And see if you can trace what I'm sharing with you today through those portions of Scripture. And also, more importantly, I just want to share with you, in order for us to build the context, the character, the point of view, there will be a bit of sanctified imagination that is not found in Scripture as well. Sanctified by its imagination. I just want to be very clear on that, so as to help us understand how Simeon would have felt and why he said what he said, as he met our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shalom. My name is Simeon. The reason why my parents call me Simeon perhaps is because they had their prayers answered, because the name Simeon means God has heard or God hears. Perhaps they were looking for a child, a male child, and God answered their prayers. Perhaps they were looking for a man who's after God's heart. And I wish and I hope that their prayers were answered. But not many people would know that my name or the names that people call me are quite different. Some of them would call me brave because I will go around telling people that I will not see death until I see my Manasseh, my Menachem, my Savior, my Messiah. I've been telling people for many years, patiently waiting for that promised Messiah to come upon Israel. And yet, as I patiently wait, people begin to mock at me and say, "Where is this Messiah that you said?" And they call me brave because I will stand up against the Roman soldiers. Like even a couple of years back when my neighbor's beautiful lamb was taken away by a Roman soldier. And do you know something? His thighs were so ripped and big, and his muscles, his biceps were so big that it's even bigger than my head. And yet I stood up against him when he was trying to take that lamb away from my neighbor. And obviously, as you can see, I was badly beaten up. So they call me brave. They don't call me Simeon. Or others who call me a bozo, a silly man, a stupid man, because I would do things that are very foolish. Like when perhaps this boy fell down into a well. Nobody would want to rescue him. Everybody waited for everybody. And yet, without hesitation, I jumped into the well and rescued a small boy. And people say, "You're crazy. Aren't you afraid?" And I said to them, "No, I'm not. Because I will not see death. I will not taste it until I meet my Menachem, my consoler, my comforter, my Messiah." So why am I so confident, you may be asking? Why? Why am I so confident that I will not see death? You see, many, many years ago, as usual, I was preparing to go to the temple. As usual, I was getting ready, doing my ritual cleansing of my hands, my feet, my face before I enter into the temple in Jerusalem. It was noonday, and all of a sudden, I heard a voice, "Simeon, Simeon." And immediately, I knew that something supernatural has happened. I looked around me and there wasn't anyone. It was bright noonday. I wasn't sick. I wasn't drunk. And so immediately I felt this presence. And all of a sudden there was this light and this voice. I do not know whether it's an angel or perhaps in the Lord, but instinctively I had to kneel down onto the floor. And as that voice spoke to me, I realized that it must be the Lord. And the Lord said to me, "You are not going to see death until you see the Lord's Christ. You are not going to taste death until the promised Menachem, the consoler of Israel, will come." Then after that, all of a sudden, it disappeared. And I was amazed. Immediately, I ran to my neighbors and said, "Did you see that? Did you hear that?" And all they could say is, "Have you been drinking?" And they know that I don't drink. At least not much, anyways, except for festive occasions. And I went to the temple. I immediately told the priests, and they began to question me. Are you okay? You know, tell me more. And when I describe those things to them, they said, I think you must be dreaming. And yet this was bright noonday. How could I be dreaming? And so I told them, I will not see death until the promised Messiah comes. The hope of Israel comes. Yet no one, not even my parents, not even my closest friends, believed in me. Some of them were curious, and for a while they were watching out to see what's happening. And yet weeks passed, months passed, years passed, and yet there was no Messiah. As my nation and as my people waited for this Messiah, we begin to question ourselves, who is going to be that Savior to take us away from Rome, from the tyranny of Rome? And of course, those friends of mine would say, where's your Messiah? Where's your mannequin? Where's your consort? And yet, I couldn't answer them except to hold on to that promise. I knew that I wasn't dreaming. I knew I wasn't hallucinating. No one believed me, and yet I had to patiently wait and wait and wait. And did I tell you that I was so confident that I will not face death until I meet him? That even though there was once when I was going to my cousin's place in Jericho, and on the way back up to Jerusalem, I accidentally slipped and fell into a ravine. And you know that place is called the Blood's Highway, the Robber's Highway, for a reason, because it's dangerous. And for 3 days, I was crying out for help. No one came to me. I was thirsty. I was hungry. And I was injured. I had blood all over me. And yet, I had a strange sense of peace, because I was reminded that very day, many years back, you will not see death until you see the Consoler of Israel, when you see the Lord's Christ. And so because of that, many people thought that I was crazy and perhaps even sinful, and perhaps I was eating wrong food. And like I said before, many a times when I should have died, I could have died, and yet I did not die. So for years I call out to the Lord, how long, oh Lord, how long before you keep on to your promises? Days pass, weeks pass, months pass, and years passed. See death before you have seen the Lord's Christ. But I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. No. Before you think that I'm having another problem of hallucination or things like that, let me share with you why I say I'm ready to die. See, last week, a couple of days back, as usual, I was getting ready to go to the temple. I was known to be righteous and devout. That wasn't a title or an adjective I would use on myself, but my friends would say that because they have seen how I lived my life. And yet I knew that I was a sinner in need of God's saving grace. And so as I was preparing to go to the temple to worship him, as I was ritually preparing myself to be ready, all of a sudden I had a familiar goosebumps, that feeling overcoming me. It was a familiar feeling, but yet it was so distant and strange. Instinctively, I knew that something special is going to happen. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice, go to the temple now. And it was the same feeling I had, the same kind of voice that I heard years back. And without hesitation, I just ran towards the temple. I was coughing away. I was exhausted. And I looked around the crowd. There was so many people because this was a time when people would come to worship the Lord, to offer their sacrifices, their animal sacrifices for their sins. I looked around and I saw different groups of people. And I saw this very promising young man. He had the confidence in him. He looked as if though he's well-educated. He looked strong and fit and good-looking too. And yet that voice says, no, not him. And of course, I turned around and looked around and I saw this other gentleman. He's very stately. He's old, but he's stately. I said, surely this must be the one. And yet that voice told me, no, not this one. And as I waited and as I searched and as I looked around, all of a sudden, I realized that something is happening here. That voice said, look there, look there. And I, at the corner of my eye, I saw this young couple. They're probably only 16, and the guy probably about 20 years old at the very most. They were obviously poor because of their dressing. And of course, of the dust on their feet, they were walking towards the temple. And they were carrying a young baby. And immediately when my eyes laid on that young child, immediately I felt that overwhelming sense of relief, of fear, of awe. I have no words to describe it. So immediately I went towards them and the father was carrying two doves. They were here obviously to offer their sacrifices. And of course, the lady was here to do her ritual cleansing because after 40 days, according to our law, then a woman who has just given birth will have to go through ritual cleansing. And the doves were meant for those and to offer as a sacrifice to them. And usually, if they were to give some money, 5 shekels usually, to the priest, it is a way of releasing that child to serve the Lord. That's our custom, unless you are a Levite, a priest. And so, because of those reasons, I realized that this is not only just a young couple, definitely not from Jerusalem, but they have traveled far, and they are poor. Otherwise, they would have brought a lamb. And obviously, the young girl, the young mother was very surprised when I ran towards the child. I said, May I? And I don't know why, but she had a smile in her face and she just handed that tiny child to me. And as I carried that child onto my hand, and I said, wow, this is the Christ. This is the Christ. And I prayed out loud and I shouted to everyone. I didn't care who was listening to me. I didn't care whether they think I'm crazy or not. But I said this, Lord God, now you have let your servants depart in peace, according to your word, years ago. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all your people.
a light for the revelation to even the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. At a point, I think both parents must have been petrified and thought that they have given their baby to a crazy old man. But yet, at the very point, there was another woman. All of us know her by the name of Anna. Anna, the prophetess. She had prophesied and it came true. And she lived in the temple all the days of her life, even longer than me. And she began crying out and praising God at the same time. And all of us were rejoicing, but only two of us were rejoicing. Everyone looked at us with fear and thought that something is wrong with us. And at that point, I remembered this prophecy given to David by his prophet Samuel. And he says here, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom like, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And it suddenly occurred to me that Samuel wasn't talking about Solomon, because Solomon did not establish the kingdom forever. That prophecy of Samuel was for this child that I'm carrying. And yet, at that very moment, my vision began to be blurred. And all of a sudden, I could see something, something that troubled my heart deeply. I saw this young child that I was carrying in my arms. I saw that this young child grow up, and he was a strong young man. Obviously, his hands were rough from his work, but yet I saw him with many people, thousands of people. They were seated, and he was teaching them the word of God. Then after that, he fed them. And everyone was satisfied. Thousands of them. It was just a small lunch. Then the vision changed. And then I saw him calming a storm in a boat. Then the vision changed again. And I saw him walk on water. And then I saw him heal the lame. The blind could see. And then I saw it. I saw him carrying a tree. He had not a crown on his head, but a crown of thorns. He was being mocked at, not like me. He was being mocked at, and people were beating him into pulp. This tiny child. Was put on a cross and he died. I said to the mother, behold, this child shall be appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that he appeared, and a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. As I handed over that child to the parents, ready to die. I'm ready to die. My dear friends, what you've just seen is Christmas through the eyes of Simeon. Simeon, not much is known about him. A lot of the information I provided for you gives you an idea, perhaps, of how he would have considered Christ when he met this young couple. Of course, we know that this young couple is none other than Joseph and Mary, the earthly parents of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How are we to respond? I've asked you that question. How are we to respond to Christmas? Many of us often look at Christmas as a time of celebration, but Christmas is also a time to consider that this child that came to this earth some 2,000 years ago will one day take on the sins of the world. We have to ask ourselves a very hard question. The hard question is this: do we truly believe in the saving works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Like Simeon, if you do believe in the promises of God, and you believe that the word of God is true according to your word, that's what he said. He could depart in peace according to God's word. Then how are we to live our lives today? I'm not saying don't have your turkeys and ham and celebration. I'm not saying that. But I want to point out to us some very important observations based out of this text. Firstly, we don't need to be famous or rich or powerful to come to Jesus. We don't need to earn anything. Simeon didn't earn anything towards his salvation. And yet God allowed him to see and to taste and to experience the joy of his salvation. The word Menachem means savior, almost like Messiah, someone who consoles you, who hears you, God hears, like his name Simeon. And scripture tells us, Paul tells us, that we've been saved by grace through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And none of us could ever claim any credit. None of us could claim that we've done good enough to earn our salvation. Which is why Christmas is so beautiful, because it is a gift from God to humanity. And this gift wasn't just given to the people of Israel. It was given to the Gentiles, alike to the Gentiles, as what Simeon said. And so therefore, for you and I here today, we enjoy this, but there is a caveat. That means there is no neutrality where you sit on the fence. There is either you choose Jesus or you choose the world. You can either draw closer to him or further away from him. You can have the joy of your salvation or the sorrow of your sins. You can be guilty or you can be forgiven. You can be consoled or you can be condemned. And yes, this is not a popular word. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. It is Jesus or nothing.